1, 2, 3, 4. Some might be offended that I'm sharing the secret. I'll make an exception because I think you'll keep it. What I'm telling you's true. Cross my heart, hope to die. What have you got to lose? Why would I lie?
Hello, and welcome to We Always Lie to Strangers, a podcast about Ozarks history, folklore, and beyond. My name is Sharp Woolston.
And I'm Gus Carlson.
And we might always lie to strangers, but not on the show because we're all friends here. Thank you for joining us. I did that lazily, and you only heard one other person. That's because this is the final one-person special after
and
Gus.
It's a one-off in the sense that it's a two-off because this is our second recording.
Yeah, but we took a little break between doing it, so problems happen. And then at the same time, you know, it's kind of nice you bring it up because we've been cryptic about when we're actually recording these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're recording ahead. I don't think this episode will drop until April.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
But I mentioned that because I keep forgetting to say this, but please rate and review the podcast. I don't even know what it really does, but I just hear people say it.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it like puts you higher up on like charts and algorithms and things to be found and stuff. But, you know, if you're doing an Ozarks podcast where there's like, I think six of them, you're going to find us.
Yeah,
I'm not that worried about it.
I would hope so. Anyway,
I'm not here to make friends, you know. I'm here to talk about the Ozarks with
my
friends.
I'm here to make, I thought you were going to say make enemies. Today's yarn almost involves Gus.
Kind of does, yeah.
Well, I'm at least
a witness in one of the parts of it.
Well, I guess I just mean that, like, you know, if this was a film, your character wouldn't be named, but it would have a line.
Right. It's like, yeah, I'd be like a featured extra, maybe. I might get, you know, like a shot of me looking.
Right.
But I'm not even in the titular, like the fun one that's covered in the news. I'm in the preamble many years earlier.
Oh, you're in like the bad prequel that's released like 10 years later?
Yeah.
Or something.
Semi-truck chaos origins or whatever we want
to
call it.
I haven't figured out even what to title this for sure. But technically, the story begins in 2012.
Yes.
But the proper action doesn't start until November 9th, 2016, when the tiny town of Ponca, Arkansas, population
Ponca.
103 in the 2021 census, and of course, that's the township, not Ponca proper.
Yeah, I was about to say, cause I don't like, because my mother did the previous census to the 2023 one for Ponca. You know, there's the official number, and then there's the number of people you can actually find. You know,
right? Well, I the Ponca Township on the map is quite large.
Yes. It's more of a, to say it's a town is kind of, there's a few buildings on the highway, and then a bunch of houses hidden far out in the woods.
That date of November 9th, 2016, Ponca experienced a calamity, but really just one of a number of calamities.
The beginning of a series of calamities.
Because on that day, a semi hauling 20 tons of Capri Sun going south on Highway 43 violently overturned in the middle of Ponca. The first semi to overturn in Ponca was technically in 2012.
I couldn't actually
find any news articles about
that. Trying to find stuff myself. I even started looking at, because there's an interesting wrinkle in this, in that we're probably not saying many of the names of people involved, because I know pretty much everybody personally in this story.
Yeah, I cut out names.
But I went to the extent of like searching Facebook posts of like, and using the search feature on Facebook. And yeah, I was able to find like stuff once the Vice documentary or the Vice news story on this occurred, but I wasn't able to find much beyond that.
Right. I was kind of surprised that I couldn't find anything about it, you know, before 2017.
Because, like, I lived in the region 2013, 2014. I would have drove through Ponca during, or right in the aftermath of one. And it wasn't Capri Sun. It was, I believe it was Sunny D. So all the beautiful drinks that were advertised on Saturday morning television in the 90s, that is what is a plague upon Ponca. My experience was driving to the Ozark Cafe because in Jasper, which is 14 miles but 40 minutes from Ponca, and I would, you know, when I was living out in the woods and in the middle of nowhere, I would drive out once a week to get a burger at the Ozark Cafe. And on the drive back, there was just, you know, Sunny D littering the entirety of Ponca. And, you know, a semi was upside down, but that wasn't the novel part. The part was watching everyone just be like, these are still closed, you know, like these are still fine. Right. So we all had orange juice for, you know, a month.
And I couldn't find if that Capri Sun wreck was the first in the string,
mm-hmm.
but it is somewhere in the mix of there being 13 wrecks in about a 6 month period.
Yes.
I kind of think the novelty of a Capri Sun truck wrecking was kind of more interesting than, you know, any other type of cargo.
Right.
Almost.
Right.
Because that was in November, but then media coverage really began to ramp up at the very beginning of 2017.
Yeah, I think a lot of them, previous ones, to my understandings, were not exactly publicized with purpose.
Makes sense.
Like, I think they were more like, can we just kind of skirt past this guy's kind of situations?
Oh, so they were just kind of like, well, let's just move past this, but then it just kept.
Yeah, that, if my recollection's correct, it was something to that effect. And yeah, it just became so commonplace that semis were just hitting this one particular area of this small town. Hamlet would be more accurate, you know? Like,
I mean, if you get on an iPhone and get in your map, you have to get really close to Ponca for the name to even come up.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, this is a fairly non-existent place except for, you know, outfitters for the river, for the Buffalo National River.
Yeah, I mean, there's only consistent buildings for maybe a mile.
If that.
I'm over a half mile, but less than a mile.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
So the first article about it was in December 2016 in the Harrison Daily Times. But the Harrison Daily Times has a super restrictive paywall, so I couldn't read the article. But I wanted to read the headline because it's fun. No one hurt Thursday in semi-crash at Ponca. Sheriff dodged runaway big rig. So then, I have my sources cited, but not in the article. So I believe this is the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. But in January 2017, they interviewed employees of the Buffalo Outdoor Center.
Mm-hmm. BOC, yes.
BOC. And so I also just have a quick mention where we can discuss Lost Valley Canoe and Buffalo Outdoor Center.
Yeah, I guess the short version of it, there's two sort of rival canoe rental and tourism-based businesses that cater to very different demographics, despite there being not enough to really... Oh, I don't know how to put it delicately either.
Well, it's also funny because in my head it's this like fierce rivalry, but in reality it's not like super dramatic.
No,
it's also funny because I've been in both.
Yeah.
The podcast leans a little more. Well, leans more. I won't say a little. Leans more towards Lost Valley Canoe.
Yeah, I don't think there's a question in it for sure.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't want to get way off on this. Anyway,
to put it succinctly, one of them it caters more to people that wear ties at their job, and one caters to people that are more outdoorsy.
Yeah, We Always Lie to Strangers is a Lost Valley Canoe podcast.
We like them more. They don't support this.
They don't advertise this, but they get this one for free.
Yes. I spent a lot of my teen years hanging out there because it's also kind of a de facto community center, really. Like,
well,
at a point.
And it's in the older building.
Yes, it is. So.
In an interview with Buffalo Outdoor Center employees in 2017, some employees had mentioned that they had seen semis with their brakes on fire coming through Ponca. Because drivers were unfamiliar with the area and had no idea that there was an elevation change of over 1,300 feet and a little less than 2 miles of highway.
Yeah, it is not the steepest incline that I used to drive all the time, but it is definitely the one that, like, the people that are less inclined for mountain driving are going to encounter the most.
I mean, it's not the most intense in the Ozarks, but
it's one of the more intense traveled ones, you know, like regularly traveled.
Well, and I was going to say that the grade isn't the most intense, but it is very long. I think it's probably longer than 1,300, or excuse me, I feel like it's longer than 2 miles.
Well, it's like a deceptive, because it's a very smooth gradient. It just keeps going and going.
It just keeps going, and there's no runaway truck ramps.
I'm thinking of 43.
This is 43.
Or thinking of 21, not 43.
Oh, right. Yes, 21. Yeah. Or wait. Yes, 21 has something. But 43, I mean, for that 2 mile thing, to the right is off the mountain, and to the left is the mountain.
Yeah, I mean, your options are like burn out your brakes or go off a cliff if you're like caught in the wrong position.
Which is why brakes had been on fire.
It is also a great road to be going uphill behind lumber trucks.
Oh God,
this is precarious. No. I've seen Final Destination 2. You know, like
yeah. I haven't, but I know what you're referencing.
Yeah.
A man that was referenced as, quote, the president of the resort, said that for decades it was common to see only 6 semis a year go through Ponca, while starting sometime around 2015, the number got as high as 6 a day.
Wow. Yeah, that was... So, used to be that the semis would come down 43... And 43 merges with or intersects with and merges with 21. And at the base of that is at another insane hill that ends in a field. And school bus trips often in the morning included seeing a semi that had gone into that field and was upside down or something like that. It was, you know, damn near a monthly occurrence. So it's like, you know, the semis stop attacking from one corner of Boxley Valley, Ponca area, and start hitting a completely different one.
Oh, yeah, because where 21 and 43 intersect, it's a T, but also there's, like, merging lanes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, I say merging lanes, and probably in heads people are thinking, like, the interstate. But it's really just, like, a bunch of little tiny traffic islands. It's a weird intersection.
That is not marked very well.
No, I mean,
no one knows how to use it.
I've driven through there forever and never in a semi, and it's still weird sometimes to do it.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things with when you encounter a semi on these roads, they're either doing something insanely dangerous or they're going so slow that you just need to pull over and just like not be like screaming at the back of a car kind of thing or back of a trailer.
It's not good. These are remote, winding roads.
They're not very well cared for. No. Like,
and then there's tourists.
That don't know what they're doing on these roads. It's a perfect situation to have an epidemic of semi-accidents assault one town.
To reiterate, we've mentioned this, but not directly, but whenever they were coming down the hill, right into Ponca, you're going down the hill, and right as it levels out, it curves into the heart of Ponca. And so most of these trucks were crashing into a parking lot that was across. It was the Lost Valley Canoe parking lot, but it's across the highway. I say highway. It's 2 lanes.
Yeah. It is. It's a road. Like, yeah. It's called a highway. It's a road.
It's a 2-lane. And these semis were flipping into the parking lot across the highway from the Lost Valley Canoe General Store.
When they were lucky, they were hitting the parking lot.
Yes.
There were other things they were hitting, too, rather unfortunately.
Yeah, they hit... There was the bathhouse, right?
Yes, yeah. The Lost Valley Canoe has a separated, like, public restroom area. There's showers. There's Daniel will say that it is the best water in all of Arkansas at that bathhouse, as far as for drinking purposes. I think it's fine. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's clean Ozark water. I don't... You know. But at least one of those semis completely... I think it was more than one, but I can't recall off the top of my head, completely demolished that bathhouse.
Well, some trucks were believed to have been going 80 to 100 miles an hour by the time that they hit the parking lot.
Right.
And also, there's like a ditch there.
Yeah.
I understand that says hit the parking lot is kind of devious, but like they're going to hit that ditch and flip and roll into the parking lot.
Yeah, not many of these semis were anything but upside down by the end.
Yes. And the owners of Lost Valley Canoe were worried for the safety of customers because, you know, we just mentioned the bathhouse over there. There's a large parking area. It's not
There's like rental cabins around this. Like, this is a used area. There's a
people on
there's
foot.
Farmers markets in this circle now. Like, they weren't at the time. But
well, and there's not really sidewalks or anything because it's a little town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, like, and so, it's a little gravel. You know, it's a lovely place.
It's not a place you want a semi careening out of control through.
No, not. There's not really anywhere you want that, but especially not like here.
It's a place with a lot of tourists and not a lot of places to go. Not a lot of places to run or jump out of the way. And they were also concerned about the possibility of diesel from wrecks spilling into the Buffalo River, which is less than a mile away from where these trucks were crashing.
And I'd be remiss to say that the topography of the area is karst, which means that like water can seep into the ground very easily into the river at that point. So that is a realistic concern.
I would imagine that most listeners would know what karst is, but yeah, it's basically limestone. It's just really easy. It's really easy for liquids to get through.
Yes.
So
yes,
in a karst topography, it's really easy to pollute the groundwater with a liquid.
Yep. So the Buffalo tasted like Sunny D and Capri Sun at various spells of the Ozarks. There's a point like just everyone at Buffalo Outdoor Center looks like the Alex Mack Capri Sun people, you know? Like,
oh, man, I haven't thought about those commercials in so long. I remember them so well now. Wow.
Just a bunch of morph people walking around Ponca, you know?
Wow. You might be wondering, why the severe uptick in semis going through Ponca? Well, that's because...
See, I think it's a magnet. Like, it's center of the Buffalo. There's always a neighbor with 1,000 cars, and I feel like they're summoned, you know? And I feel like the trucks are the end game of that.
I can't believe that there's not a car hen near Ponca, but there is that road between Ponca and Jasper where the motorcycles are hanging from that tree.
I don't know if they're in the trees anymore.
I haven't been on that road in a while.
I haven't, like, in the last year. I was in November, yeah, because I went to the Buffalo National River stuff meeting.
Yeah.
I didn't Probable think to episode. Look at the tree and see if there were still, I think, 3 Harley Davidsons hanging from a tree.
Yeah, I haven't been in there. I've been over there within the last year and a half, but I was driving.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't really, but there, anyway. So... The semis, if you're taking Highway 43, that drive is the shortest trip mileage-wise between Springfield, Missouri and Clarksville, Arkansas. It's 81 miles shorter than the next fastest route, which is Highway 65 through Harrison before connecting on I-40.
Which is largely a straight road.
Which?
65.
65 has the really rough part. Between St. Joe and Clinton?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, and Clinton is coming down into a slope for sure, but nothing compared to...
I actually think that the section between St. Joe and Clinton, I'm pretty sure that is one of the most dangerous roads in the state of Arkansas, like that section.
Really?
Yeah, I remember looking at a list of most dangerous roads per... State?
I guess it. I wonder how much how much more traffic it is comes into play on that too.
Well, and yes, that one gets a lot more traffic, but also I haven't been on it in a while. But I know that the last time I was on it, they've been slowly straightening it out more and more. But anyway, it is way better for semis.
Oh yeah,
If that wasn't clear by what we're saying here,
and I would argue even with the mileage, as it were, probably a lot quicker.
I would also think so.
Mm-hmm. For a semi, I don't like if you're in a small car zipping around.
Oh, if you're in a small car, absolutely not. But you might be wondering, what's the big deal between Springfield, the queen city of the Ozarks, and the largest city in the Ozarks, population-wise, and Clarksville, which is a small town in the River Valley of Arkansas? Well, Clarksville is home to a Walmart distribution center, and the drivers who were wrecking in Ponca were almost exclusively independent contractors driving their own trucks for Walmart, and were just trying to be as efficient as possible on their drive from Springfield to Ponca.
So the conspiracy theory that we start is that the Waltons are purposefully trying to destroy Ponca so that they can buy it out more successfully.
So they can buy everything out easier and destroy the Buffalo River by making it a national park, which sounds good on its surface. They've stopped for the time being because everyone realized it was a scam.
There'll probably be an episode about that at some point. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I still have the minutes from the meetings that they had in Jasper on that, so I kept all the paperwork for it.
Yeah, and now, in all of these articles, which again, you know, they're all like 5, 6 years old, 6, 7 years old even.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ponca residents and the Department of Transportation in Arkansas were unsure what exactly should be done to solve the problem. The main idea was just putting a bunch of signs up in Harrison, because once you're past Harrison on 43,
you can't really turn back around.
But
like the signs at that point should just say abandon all hope, you know, like,
yeah, I mean,
you've gone too far.
And what's funny is I haven't found any sort of follow up about this, but I haven't heard about any trucks wrecking. So I guess they fixed it.
I mean, I know where this goes, so I don't really want to like jump ahead too far, but because isn't it the GPS is the origin point of this, right?
Oh, yeah. I just wasn't very clear in that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the GPS is basically sending these. But I also am like, I don't know too much about long haul trucking, as it were.
No, I accidentally left GPS out of the script.
But
people that were unfamiliar with the area were using GPSs and just went, oh my God, I can save 81 miles if I go through this.
Don't long haul truckers basically have a dispatcher, not unlike a air traffic controller that kind of, you know, helps them with routes and stuff? Or am I mistaken on that? Because I wouldn't be shocked if there is like a push to cut mileage down kind of thing by brass and being like,
my grandpa was a trucker. Uh-huh. And I know that there was a dispatcher, but I don't think
they're not necessarily picking the routes.
Well, also these were independent contractors.
That's true. That's true.
So these are people that are just working for Walmart, probably getting paid less. Walmart doesn't really care if their trucks are damaged or not. And also I'm thinking that, you know, a lot of truckers are paid by mile. So
right.
You would want to go the longer way. But I'm assuming if you're an independent contractor, it's about time more than anything else.
Right, right, right.
So I think these guys are just, and also since you're, you know, fuel's expensive, you're just trying to save time on stuff. And so they're just following a GPS that's telling them this is the shortest way.
Right, right, right. Well, it's like, you know, probably 2 long hours. If I recall correctly, these wrecks weren't happening at like particularly waking hours on all of them.
I didn't find any time about any of them, honestly.
Well, it's like, I know at least a few of them happen, like, in the middle of the night.
And I know that a few happen, like, during the day because people were, like, running out of stores and stuff.
Yeah, well, I think the Sunny D one happened during the day, because if it happened between me going to Jasper and back, you know.
Right.
I think. You know, memory is fickle.
I just can't believe I rewrote the script and left out the GPS part.
Oh, you're fine.
I mean, that's the end of the script, but I did finish with a quote from one of the owners of Lost Valley Canoe about the people wrecking trucks, which was, all the local boys know how to drive these roads. It's always the non-locals that are the problem. Which I thought was funny related to the GPS.
Well, it's like, you know, you can always tell a tourist in Newton County driving very quickly, you know. First, they probably won't wave back when you wave. But two, they don't know what they're doing on the roads. And then if you give them 18 wheels and a bunch of cargo, it only just gets more dangerous, you know, and is what it is.
Well, and this reminds me, I have this business venture that's been in the back of my head forever, which is just you set up stations, Fayetteville, Huntsville, Harrison, Ponca, Gilbert, Pruitt, maybe. You're trying to hit, Pruitt doesn't really have like a population center, but like, you know, Gilbert is on the river, it's got a restaurant, it's got a general store, Ponca. Maybe you can get out. St. Joe would be a good spot for it. But then you're just, you know, Eureka Springs would definitely have one, Berryville. But basically, tourists, especially Okies and Texans, they show up and they're like, hey, we heard that we should come here because locals would get mad that we're driving so slow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you just have a local boy drive your car.
And I love the idea.
Yeah, like someone pulls up in Fayetteville and they go, hey, we're going to Ponca. We have a cabin.
I mean, frankly, it should be required on the dirt roads. The locals on, or, you know, the tourists on dirt roads are a whole different breed. Very bold in very stupid ways, or very cautious in, like, dangerous ways for everyone else.
Yeah, I realize that I get way more angry rural because I know that I can drive reckless and no one's letting me.
Right.
Anyway, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next time. My name is Sharp. My name has been I've
Sharp
been Sharp.
Forgot his name.
Whatever. And my co-host today,
Gus Carlson.
Whatever. Anyway, thanks for checking it out, and we'll see you next time.
Take care.
Hey, it's Sharp with the sources. First, we have GPS blamed for surge in runaway trucks in small Arkansas town by Bill Bowden of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Next, we have trucker route thought to be quicker turned into deadly crash by Sarah Foritz and Tim Limecolor for KY3. And finally, Ponca residents concerned about increasing semi wrecks as GPS takes drivers down Highway 43 by Susanna Zytek of Ozarks at Large, the radio show in the Fayetteville NPR affiliate. All right, we'll be back to a full-length episode next week. Thanks for listening.